his whole narrative on his trolls is that they're all over the world, that once you kind of become a troll follower, that you want to visit other places and meet each of the different trolls, and we love being part of that story.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Carolina Cast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. I'm Maddie Policastro.
And I'm Marguerite Stuss. We're here today to talk about world-renowned environmentalist and sustainability artist Thomas Dambo. Dambo has landed in Raleigh along with five larger-than-life wooden trolls. This outdoor art exhibit is located in Dick's Conservancy Park, an active development project for the city of Raleigh, and Dambo's contribution might just put them on the map. Let's get into it.
So Marguerite, I used to go to Dick's as a kid, but I know that things have obviously changed a lot since then. So what's going on at Dick's Park right now?
So Dick's Park is one of Raleigh's biggest development projects right now. They're trying to turn it into a park that's similar to a Central Park or a City Park in New Orleans. And it was purchased in 2015. Prior to that, it was a mental health hospital in Raleigh that closed in 2012. Now it's really working on establishing art projects throughout the park. And this is local, national, and now international artists. And the donors, as well as the park's leadership, are working on this public art program to help with public outreach and help spread community within Raleigh. So Nick Smith is the chief of staff and project manager at Dick's Conservancy Park, and he is the one that has been planning all of the construction and the installation with these trolls and Thomas Dambo coming to the park. So this is their biggest project yet, and it's going to be five wooden trolls here that are honestly the size of giants. They're as tall, 10 feet, some are laying down, some are standing up, and there's seven in total coming to North Carolina, one in Charlotte and one in High Point. So it's going to get the community involved. There's volunteer aspects, communications with other sustainability organizations within Raleigh, and partnerships across North Carolina.
Okay, that is crazy. I've heard a lot about these trolls. So how did Dick's get these trolls?
So the process started 4 years ago. And just for some background, Thomas Dambo has a massive queue for people waiting for these trolls to come to their parks or to be public art places in popular cities, towns, and nature destinations. But two people that are on this leadership circle at Dick's Park, Marjorie Hodges and Carlton Midyet, went and saw some of his installations in another city in the United States, and they immediately got the idea to bring him to Dick's Park. And they were in the queue for over a year. And finally, the installation was approved. And it originally started as just two trolls coming to Raleigh, to Dick's Park, and then ultimately five, and then ultimately two more in Charlotte and High Point. And so he said, Nick, this process would be kind of back and forth between him, Thomas Dambo, and Dambo's team, where Dambo described his ideas for how he wanted these trolls to be incorporated in the park. And then the leadership team at Dick's Park would give back what their thoughts were. So they've kind of been working back and forth on what they finally wanted the final vision of these trolls to look like throughout the park, because their main goal was trying to get people back out in nature and exploring the park because it's such a massive piece of land in Raleigh.
Yeah, that is just so cool. I feel like we've heard so much about these trolls, and I've seen pictures and things like that online. I'm curious, do you mind telling us a little bit more about the artist? Can you tell us a little bit about Thomas Dambo's background?
Yes, this is honestly my favorite topic about the whole thing. I've learned so much about him through this entire process. He had an artist talk on October 23rd at Dick's Park, which is the kind of ribbon cutting ceremony essentially for these trolls coming here. And he talked about these trolls that were coming to Raleigh and North Carolina in general, but he also talked about his process of becoming such a famous artist internationally. So he is from Denmark originally, and that's where he started. And he actually used to be a rapper. And he talked about in his artist talk how he was like, the music I'm making is not reaching as many people as the sculptures that I could make. And that's ultimately why he made the transition into this field. But his whole entire message is about sustainability, and he's a recycled materials artist. So he kind of combines social media and videos with these promotions about how we can reuse trash and reuse recycled materials to become public displays that people can interact with, either in parks or just as like monuments within larger cities. So he started out in Copenhagen. That's where the majority of his projects were. And he went to all these music festivals and used the trash from the music festivals to make these projects. And those started out as plastic works. And then he switched to wood, and these were birdhouses. So he'd make like thousands of birdhouses, and they would be displayed all over Denmark. And he also made this massive wooden paneled piece in Copenhagen where people could switch the colored panels and write out messages, and people would do it in like funny ways, in art ways. There was also this guy that owned his own like convenience store, and he'd come out there every morning and write out his store's name, trying to get people to come to it. So it was like, once again, going back to this like community-oriented art that's trying to get the people involved. So his biggest plastic installation is in Mexico City. It's called the Future Forest, and it's all these neon pieces of plastic, and you can like walk through it. It's kind of a playground as well as a beautiful piece of modern work, and it's talking about combinations of nature with recycled materials. So he's been able to make all these interactive pieces. Finally, he started on the trolls, and he kind of just loved them as like this whimsical creature that is kind of odd, but also plays into a childlike fun thing that people can explore and find. So it's an activity, it's interactive, it's involving the community, and it's making people be a part of nature. And one of the big things is that they're out there, and you can know their general location, but you're never really going to know an exact pinpoint of where they are. And that's the same at Dix Park. So once you get it on the park's campus, you just have to walk around and find them yourselves. And that's, once again, trying to get people to be back in nature and find it for themselves. And he has this troll map on his website, and you can see all these trolls that he has all over the world. So they're in Jackson Hole, they're in Chicago, Seattle, they're in China, Argentina, Australia. I mean, across the entire globe. So it's kind of turned into this following of people that are like, I want to see one. Let me plan more travel, more ways to get out into nature, into seeing the rest of his works.
That is just so cool. I think it's just such a cool concept, and especially getting people so involved in it. And I like going back to Dix Park, I know there is this aspect of like getting people to go out back into the park and back to the community and kind of collaborate. But I understand there was a collaborative element on the back end of the installation and everything. Do you mind kind of talking about that and what that looked like?
Yes. So the community has been involved in more ways than one. The city of Raleigh obviously has been a huge support, and Nick Smith really voiced this when I talked to him. He was super excited about all of the management and organization that they'd helped provide. Raleigh Reclaim, which is also like a sustainability organization based in Raleigh. And then finally, Habitat for Humanity, which was working on the front end as well as the back end of the project. They're centralized in Wake County, this particular branch, and they helped with the volunteer management program because a big part of his projects, like I said, is the community. So he makes these massive sign-up sheets for people to come out, volunteer, and build the trolls with him. And he's racked up a troll followers. So there's people that are from Denmark that have been traveling with him as he builds all these trolls. But he's also very focused on the local community and getting them inspired about it as well. So he made these sign-up sheets, and Habitat for Humanity helped. And they came out, I think, September 17th at noon, and they were completely filled up by 3 p.m. So 3 hours. I mean, people were excited about it. And there's these volunteers that are building, and then there's the hospitality side, which is like helping with lunch and helping with cleanup and all that stuff. So when I got to go see all of them building, it really reiterates how important community is to him.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that building process is just so interesting, getting people going out. So I am also curious, you mentioned this environmental aspect to his work, and I know that really shines through in a lot of things he does. Do you mind kind of talking about what that looks like with the trolls specifically? I know you touched on it, but I'm just curious about what that looks like now.
So Nick Smith really went in depth on this with me, which was so interesting to hear about. And part of his contracts, he's very strict about them. Dambo wants a net carbon footprint after he's done all his traveling to the place where he's working, after materials have been picked up and food and all these other things that are creating waste are being brought onto the project, he wants zero of that to be, I guess, added to the ultimate emissions that come out of the project. So basically what this looks like is every day these volunteers are having meals served for them and everything has to be disposable. They use bikes to get around the park, no cars. He will fly, obviously, from Copenhagen to North Carolina, and they had to find a way to make that a net carbon emission as well. So all of these things together is what he's really working towards. And I think that kind of idea and how upfront and candid he was about it within his artist talk was what was inspiring to people, just because he's being so proactive about having such a massive following and being someone that is having a carbon footprint, but working so tirelessly to have it not be as effective as it normally would for the average person. And I think one of the great things is over the 3-week building process, going back to this community aspect, he really is trying to make sure everyone else is as passionate about that and learning to become more passionate about the footprints that they're producing as well. So he had this merchandise printer where people could bring old t-shirts, sweatshirts, pants, anything like that, and make their own merch with this printer instead of him releasing constant merch that people might want. And this overwhelming interest and support from the community has just reiterated the importance of sustainability. I think what it's going to bring to Dix Park, as well as what Thomas Dambo's message is going to inspire overall, is our own waste and our own emissions. There's great ways for people to reconnect with nature, even in as big of a city as Raleigh. And I think that's the message he's trying to spread across North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm definitely going to have to go back out there. I know it's been a while for me, but I want to go find all the trolls.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Marguerite.
Of course. From the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media, this has been Carolina Cast. I'm Marguerite Seuss.
And I'm Maddie Policastro.